ain't no Titanic we're on tonight. This is the ship of Zion.
Amen.
My God, not even the gates of hell are going to make this church go down.
Amen.
Come on. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Right.
There hasn't been a tidal wave. There ain't been a tsunami. There ain't been a hurricane. There ain't been a tornado. There ain't been nothing from the gates of hell that could ever shut down the church.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Sail on, old ship of Zion. You wondering tonight, is this the right place to be? Well, I tell you what, when this earth is on fire, when God starts shaking the earth, and everything that's not, amen, everything that's not tied down to the book of God is going to fail, is going to fall, this is the place to be.
Come on, man.
You're as safe here tonight as you can be anywhere else. Amen. I don't care how fortified your home is. This is the place to be.
Come
in the house of God. Amen. Ain't no devils and demons and spirits going to come against the Holy Ghost in this house. This is the place to be. Well, I would have liked to be here tonight, but I'm not feeling very good. I understand that, but what better place? Now, what's that vessel he used to have, Brother Penny, the USS Hope? That hospital vessel that used to sail around? Well, you're on the best hope tonight there is. Amen. Glory to God, the SS Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This vessel ain't going down. And that's what I want to preach to you about for just a few minutes tonight. Sail on, old ship of Zion. Amen. The devil has been persecuting the church for 2,000 years, and he hasn't been able to shut it down yet. Amen. There's people that probably told Brother Jack, probably told you, this church will never get off the ground. Well, glory to God. We just put the big, well, I don't know what they smashed them boats with, but oh, we watched Quick Victory, Full Gospel Tabernacle, slash, sail down off that ramp, and heading towards the port called heaven. Glory to God. And guess what? Along the way, we picked up some passengers. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The ship of Zion comes into the port, lets the gangplank down. Hallelujah. It's time to get on board.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't miss it when the boat sails away.
That's right.
You don't know if that ship's going to come back to this harbor or not.
Right.
Hallelujah. Right. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'm feeling pretty good, Brother Jack. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to that. I'm in my teaching mode right now. I'm getting ready for tomorrow. Amen. Been school teacher for 35 years. I guess this thing, it says on. On. There we go. Hello, there it is. Yeah, boy, his ear, him earplugs be going blam, wham, wham, wham. Better watch it there now. Got a school teacher up here. They get loud sometimes. If it's too loud, back up. If it ain't loud enough, get up. You can't set a mic system to suit anybody. So I'm just going to tell you, if it's too loud, move back. If it ain't loud enough, move up. When you get behind me, I'll know something's really wrong. Man. Glory to God. I tell you, I'm feeling a good presence of the Lord in this place tonight. Amen. If you're here and you just feel like it's another Sunday night. The port, the ship of Zion's in port tonight. And I pray before this service is over, Brother Jack, we'll take on some more passengers.
Yes, amen.
I know you wouldn't. You'd be glad to hear that. Amen. Well, I've got one scripture I want to read, and then we're going to go to some other places. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Hey, man, I'm feeling good. I hope you are. I want to say one thing, too, about, I appreciate you standing for the word. Let me just say something before we go on. I noticed you got the prayer cloths out here, and I want to say something to those of you that have them. I've been reading about a man. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. I know Brother Jack knows about him. Some of you all know about him. He's called the Apostle of Faith, and he was just a plumber. That's all he was, just a plumber. And God got a hold of him one day and filled him with the Holy Ghost and turned him into the disciple of faith. Now, he's known quite a bit for his miracles and healings that God did through him. But I've had an opportunity to read a whole book about that thick on his messages. And this man had faith living in him and through him and all around him. But he had a particular woman that came to one of the meetings. And she said, Brother Wigglesworth,
I'd like to have one of those handkerchiefs to take home. He said, what's the situation? She said, my husband was a deacon in the church. And she said, this wasn't a church that where they had to speak in tongues. And she said, I got the Holy Ghost one night there at church. And I began to speak in tongues. The other deacons came up to my husband and said, we can't have your wife in here speaking like that. You either get her in control or get her out and you get out with her. Well, this man cherished that position he had. It meant a lot to him to be a deacon. And boy, he was upset with his wife. He wouldn't talk to her. Church wouldn't have anything to do with her. And he wouldn't have anything to do with her. And she went up to Brother Wigglesworth and she said, my husband, I don't think he loves me anymore. She said, ever since, and she told him about the situation, about her receiving the Holy Ghost and what happened and her husband being chastised by the other deacons. And he said, well, he anointed that handkerchief with oil. And he said, you put your hand on here and I'm going to put my hand on here. And here's what I want you to do. We're going to pray right now. And they prayed for a few moments. And he said, now you do this. Now, I'm not saying this is a situation that you ladies have the handkerchiefs. I'm just trying to get you to understand how God can manifest Himself through anything He wants to.
Come on.
Amen? So, he said, when you get home tonight, you put that handkerchief under his pillow. Now, this man had become mean to the point, I mean, just ugly mean. Wouldn't have anything to do with her. He came home from work, same old thing as every night, but Wigglesworth told her, he said, you be as nice to him as you can. You love him as much as you can, but you put that handkerchief under his pillow. And so she fixed supper for him. He never said a word during supper. He got up from supper and went straight to bed. And that woman got down in that living room and she fell on her face before God and she said, oh God, I put my faith in you, Lord. You do what you said you would do. She said sometime during the night she heard a scream coming from the bedroom upstairs. And she ran up there and she said, what's the matter? And her husband said, I'm afraid I'm going to die and go to hell. I've been so cruel to you. I was all wrong. Would you forgive me? And the two of them knelt beside that bed and he made things right with Christ. I'm here to tell you there's power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in prayer. So I don't know what your prayer cloths are for, but God does. And I want you to have that kind of faith to believe that God will. He'll move mountains for you if you just let Him. I better get to this message. By the way, you know my policy. The more you amen, the shorter the sermon gets.
Amen.
Amen. That just knocked off about 3 minutes right there. Amen. There's a, boy, it's spreading, ain't it? Brother Jack, I won't be able to preach. They'll just shout me down tonight.
No,
it's okay. All right. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. One verse. Then we'll let you sit down. I want us to look at some other verses. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let me read it one more time. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Mine's in red letters. Who does that say is saying this?
Jesus.
You can put it in the bank. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Sail on. Old ship of Zion. Now, isn't it interesting that Christ, His disciples, if you read this 24th chapter of Matthew, His disciples have asked Him, what about the end of time? What are going to be the signs of your coming?
Come on.
But isn't it interesting that Jesus makes an analogy or comparison with the days of Noah, saying, this is when I'm going to be coming back. Now, anybody know much about the days of Noah? What things were like back then? Pretty bad, wasn't it? As I read in the sixth chapter of Genesis, if you want to turn back that way with me, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, is anybody in here that tonight doesn't believe that the day we're living in is measuring up to that measure?
Come on.
Do you hear what it says there? It says that every imagination that a man could have was on one thing, and that was evil. That was wickedness. I mean, it was such a perverse time. And yet I tell you that today you and I are living in such a time. Wickedness is abounding in this earth.
Come on.
Amen. Thank God for the sanctuary, this haven of rest that we're in. But we know that outside this wall, that all around there's evil and wickedness. Amen. I just hearing on the radio and seeing in the paper this weekend about that woman in Tennessee that shot her husband, a preacher. I don't know all the circumstances about it. It could be. It might have been that this man wasn't everything that his title said he should be. I don't know. But did you ever see a time when violence was in such abundance? Was it not too long ago that a woman put her three children in a car and pulled the brake off and let the car go right into the lake and watched that car go down and her children screaming and beating on the windows and never had a remorseful thought about it? Could look the police and the cameras right in the face and say, my children have been abducted. Now you tell me we're not living in a time of wickedness. Abounding. Abounding wickedness. And we find out in the sixth chapter of Genesis that the Lord said that He repented that He had made man. And the Lord said in verse 7, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. Man, beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But note the next verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Where are you going to find grace? You're going to find it on the old ship of Zion. That's where you're going to find grace, in God's house, in God's presence, in God's way, and in God's will. Now notice in verse 13, God said unto Noah, I will destroy them with the earth. The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Now, it's not a very pretty picture, is it? And if the rest of my message was going to be dwelling on this, you might be in you might have the mully grubs before you go out of here tonight. But that's not the way the Word of God works. Now, I want you to notice in the next verse, we remember that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And yet the Lord tells Noah, I'm going to destroy everything. I wish I'd never made it. It's just all wickedness. But He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, you're talking to a city slicker here. I wouldn't know gopher wood from any other wood. But it must be a pretty good wood. It must be the kind of wood that's going to be water resistant. It must be the kind of wood that's going to have strength to it. Amen? And He says, you make an ark of gopher wood. And then God begins to outline how He wants His boat made. Now, is this the kind of boat that's going to be shown off at some boat show? Some $45,000 bass boat with a 5,000 horsepower engine on the back, mufflers blowing out each side, wobble, wobble, wobble. No, sir. That boat, I don't know what kind of fishing you could have done in that weather anyway. You'd have to have a bilge pump on that thing. But God tells Noah, here is the design. I've got something to design that's going to save you and your family. Isn't it great that we have a God that thinks about us like that? That would have mercy upon us. And God gives him the dimensions and tells him how to make this. Now, He says, you'll pitch it within and you'll pitch it without. Now, I didn't know anything much about pitch either, so I looked it up. It says a resin from conifers, which are cone-bearing trees. You boil it down into tar and you spread it. It not only is water-resistant, but it holds, it fastens together with whatever it's fastened to. Ain't nothing going to separate the boards, Noah. You pitch it with that. You put it together. Now, we read on, and He said it's going to be the breadth of it, 50 cubits. The length, 30 cubits. The height of it, 30. The breadth, 50. I don't know much about a cubit, but I just figured this was a big boat. It wasn't designed to be anything fancy, but it was designed to be a boat that's going to withstand one of the most terrifying storms that has ever come upon the face of the earth. He said, to put a window in it, thou shalt make to the ark. And I guess it's going to be up towards the top. And He said, put a door in the side of it. Now, I don't believe the purpose of that window was so that when that storm began to beat upon the earth, and Noah had brothers and sisters, the way I understand this thing. The way people were having children back in them days and the earth was multiplying. But I don't read anything about his brothers and sisters getting on the boat. I don't read anything about his cousins and nephews getting on the boat. But he said, you bring you and your family aboard. So God opens the door and sets down the gangplank. And he said, whosoever will, come. Now you can't tell me, I really believe that God's hope, even though he knew all things, was that more than 8 people would get on that boat. Why make it so big? Just to save animals? God could create animals left and right if he wanted to. But he put a door there. And he put a window there. And I don't believe that window was so that Noah would have to witness what was going on outside the boat. Amen? But God gave him the designs for everything that he was going to need. Now, I don't know about you fishermen and you men out there that know and women that know how to operate a boat, but there's something missing on this boat. Build it of this. Pitch it with this. Put a door. Put a window. What's missing? How are you going to steer it? You ain't going to steer it, Noah. You ain't the captain. Who's the captain? God is. You don't need no rudder on this boat. You don't need no steering wheel on this boat. God said, you just build it, get in it, and I'll steer it where it ought to go. God builds a church. He said, build it, get in it, don't worry about it, I'll steer it to where it ought to go. You worried about where full gospel is going tonight? Victory, full gospel. Are you worried about where it's going? Well, don't. God's a captain. Amen. And he's given you a good shepherd. Amen. You don't have to worry about the direction the ship's going in. The Bible says that Noah and his family went into the ark. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things here. I'm trying to move quick, but I want us to get this. I want you to look at verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. At this point, the breath of life, life itself is in the earth. God has provided everything a man, woman, boy, or girl needs to live, including the breath of life. But God says that breath of life is about to come to an end. It's about to end. He said, but with thee will I establish my covenant. But there's a condition. If I'm going to establish, he says, Brother Penny, if I'm going to establish my covenant with you, Noah, there's one condition. You got to get in the ark. Makes sense to me. God says, I'm going to establish a covenant with you, Noah, but the only way it's going to be a covenant, binding and agreeing, is if you get in the ark. You got to get in the ark. God designs a vessel that's going to save 8 people's lives. He says, but the only way you and I can have a covenant is if you get in the ark. Now listen to this. Verse 19. He talks about bringing of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. What's the purpose of the ark? To sustain life. There's life inside the ark. That's where the life is. When that door closes, when God closes the door to the ark, there's life on the inside and death on the outside. That's what it is. Listen, church. And let's go on. Bless the little children. I know I'm loud. Of fowls, verse 20. Of cattle, every creeping thing. 2 of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Do you see that word over and over again? Alive. Within is life. Without is death. Amen. Listen. And then let's go over into verse 15 of chapter 7. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. I'm going to make a covenant with you, but here's the agreement. Choose life. Choose death. I've designed this vessel right here. it's going to get you safely home. Yes. Isn't that what we're all here about tonight, is getting safely home?
Yes.
I'm not talking about the home you live in that you came from tonight to get here to church. I'm talking about an eternal home.
Yes.
And God has designed a vessel that'll get us there. You see, He did that with Noah. Now, let's move on. I got to move quick. I don't know how many years later, the children of Israel are in bondage in Egypt. You remember that?
Yes.
They're slaves. The taskmasters are beating them. It's just torture. Every day you get up knowing the fact that you're going to work 16, 18 hours. Maybe go home for a short time and back at it again. Somebody's going to be whipping and beating your back every step of the way. All day being beaten and being enslaved. You know, that's what sin does. Sin is a hard taskmaster.
Yes, yes.
And some people don't learn it until many marks have been left upon their back. Listen, let me tell this real quick. A couple of weeks ago, we were in church over at Paducah Holiness, where we go. And a woman came in the back of the church. Bless her heart. I never seen her before. And she come and sit down. But you know, just I could tell Brother Jack by looking at her, the marks and the effects of sin were there. You can see it, church. You don't have to be an expert on this. Sin leaves deep marks. Amen. Sin ruins lives and wrecks lives. And the devil would have us to believe, just like he does with sickness, well, you're just going to have to live with it. Oh, that's the biggest lie.
That's the biggest lie I ever came from hell. You've got to live with it. I don't feel good. Well, you're just going to have to live with it.
No, that's not what the stripes were laid upon Jesus' back was. He's saying you don't have to live with that. Come up here and get prayed for. Come up here and get a cloth and have it anointed. And believe what God can do. Don't believe the devil's lie. You got to live with it. Some people believe they have to live with sin. Oh, you don't understand, Brother Hayes. You don't know where I've been. Well, maybe I don't. But the one that built that ark and the one that built this church knows where you've been. That's the whole purpose, is to sustain life. God would like to make a covenant with you. I believe, you know, we may have some people here tonight that have never made that covenant with Jesus Christ. You don't know Him as your personal Savior. I hear people tell me all the time, oh, I know the Lord. I know the Lord. I had a man tell me about a month ago, I know the Lord. Now, I know I'm not living the way I ought to. Oh, I'm into some things, Brother Hayes, that I shouldn't be. But I know the Lord. But you know, that's not really the question. When we stand in front of Him one day, He's going to say, I know you or I don't know you. You better know Him. But He better know you. That's the covenant I'm talking about. We must make a covenant with God. Amen. We choose death or we choose life. And I tell you, we found out that this woman had been on drugs. She had just gotten out of jail the night before. And she wanders into a church. Fancy that. Wondering if she can get any help. And before the altar call could even be given. But she don't even know what an altar is. She's just down here looking. What do I do? What do I do next? Listen, isn't that sad? Doesn't that break your heart?
If somebody come into God's house and not even think this is just a piece of furniture. That's all they think. Oh, don't that look nice? I'm glad you didn't put cushions on. We'd never be able to see the tears and the snot and everything else that comes down on this altar. Don't cushion these. This isn't meant to be a place of comfort. It will be eventually. Not when you first get there.
Come on.
You make them like this, nobody will know you. They'll be comfortable. They'll be like I am trying to pray at 5 in the morning. See, I told Brother Daniel Sweeney, said, get up at 5 o'clock. Get up at 5.
I'm not a morning person. I can't get up at 5. I get up at 6. It's just to get up, throw my clothes on, go to work. But you get me in my prayer closet at 9 p.m. every night. If you want to call my house, call before 9. Because after 9 o'clock, you get my secretary. I get in that closet, I don't come out for nobody. Well, what if there's an emergency? Well, what better place for me to be is in the prayer closet with God. I ain't got nothing to worry about. My family's going to be fine. But that was sad. That broke my heart. That woman coming down front. Where do I go? I need deliverance from drugs. What do I do? Is this, what do I need here? I'm telling you, that's sad. Oh, but the prayer vultures came around her.
Yes.
I tell you about when I was a Baptist, I didn't know what these people down here. I just see the prayer vultures come in. I said, look out, they're coming after you. Here come the vultures. And boy, them women descended on her. Ooh, glory to God. At a time. You think my wife let her go? She went back to that pew thinking, well, that's what my wife's right back in her face. You going to be at church tonight? You coming back tonight? You're not going to just have a one-time experience, are you?
Come on.
She ain't walked the game plank yet, but I'll tell you what, she's closer to getting off that dock than she ever was. Moses,
he was born, his mother said, oh, he's a precious child. But Pharaoh had said, we're going to kill all the male babies.
That's right.
And she hid that baby and hid him as long as she could until the crying probably got to be too much. Did you know what she built for Moses to put in the Nile? What was it called? An ark. Well, it wasn't like Noah's, but it had the same purpose.
That's right.
No rudder. Put him in that ark, pitched it in and out. Shoved him down the Nile, the crocodile country. Woo! There's life in the ark.
There's life in the ark. Glory to God, that sounds good, isn't it? There's life in the ark.
And the Lord just kind of directed that ark right over to Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, great. There's my child and Pharaoh's daughters looking right down at him. But you know how it works out. Miriam's right there. She said, would you like to have a Hebrew woman to nurse this Hebrew child?
There's life in the ark, brother.
Yeah. Amen.
Y'all get this?
Come on.
Woo. I'm so excited I can't stand this. You see, there's life in the ark. God made a covenant with Moses. Amen. And soon he would be the one to lead the children of Israel out. Finally, I want to talk about this. And this is my main point tonight, and I'm going to stop. Church, you're in the ark right now.
Yes.
Yes, you are. If you've been blood washed, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, notes, they don't mean nothing. You walk up that gangplank,
standing there, yes, sir, can I see your ticket? Calvary. Stamped in blood.
Yes.
Come on board.
Amen.
Come on board. I see your ticket. It says Calvary. I like that. I heard that sound. Blood. It's in red. It's in red. That's your covenant with God. Get on board. Come on.
This ship's fixing to leave the harbor. We're going to the heavenly harbor. Hallelujah. We're going to the haven of rest. Calvary. Come on board.
Amen.
Ah. Just like in the days of Noah. Oh, God's going to pull up the plank one of these days.
Yes.
Some of you sit here tonight, you better get on while the plank's still down.
Oh.
I'm telling you, one day God, yes, God is, he's a God of love and mercy, isn't
yes,
he, Brother Jack?
Yes, he is.
If he wasn't a God of love and mercy, you wouldn't have a chance tonight.
Right.
The plank would already be up, and you'd be waving by as the boat sails off. I don't know about those that believe that after the church has been raptured, there's going to be a chance. Why, I take that chance. I'd rather go on the first load, wouldn't you, sister? I got my ticket. Whew, Calvary, it's been stamped in red, brother. I can go and soak in you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you and your family are on the ark?
Yes.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you girls glad you're on the ark? You're either on it or you're off. There ain't no in between. And then that brings us to the final matter, and that's stowaways. Yes, I'm in the church, but I've never made a profession of faith. Yes, I'm in the church building right now. I'm in the ark, but I don't have a ticket. They're going to go around. God's going to search one day. Amen. When that ark pulls into the heavenly harbor, he's going to check on board. And if you hold up a pass like that and it ain't stamped Calvary in red, he's going to say, I'm sorry, you're going to get off the boat. Depart from me. We're getting ready to sail. I don't know you, but I know you. Yes, but I don't know you. What does Jesus say? Depart from me. I never knew you. Not closing with this church. Christ ordained the church. He designed the church to be the vessel that was going to take you through the storms of life and bring you safely into home. That's what this church is all about. You say, what about the if they're Bible-believing, Bible-thumping, blood-washed, amen, Jesus is the captain, if that's the way it is, You can get on that one too, but I'm recommending this one right here. SS Victory. That's a good name, ain't it? SS Victory. Listen, church, I want to be serious with you for a moment. There came a time, Noah preached for 120 years, I guess. And finally one day, God said, get on the boat. Get in the ark, Noah. I'm fixing to shut this door. Do you think Noah could open that door? That's why God closed it. So Noah wouldn't have all that blood on his hands. Amen. I don't know whether Noah could hear the screams from out. Let us in. Open the door. You were right. We were wrong. It's going to be too late. Well, Brother Hayes, I'm here tonight and I'm saved. I'm on the SS Victory. What do I do? It's simple. Walk down the gangplank and get some more people and bring them back in. Because this boat's fixing to sail. And I don't know how many more ports it'll stop at before it reaches heaven. I'm pleading with you tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get to know Him. And to know Him to such a degree that He can look at you and say, I know you. I know you. I know you. I know you. You don't want Him to look at you and say, I don't know you. Because He's going to turn you around on that gangplank and send you back down. And off she goes. Oh, church, we're in such a time. And we wonder what the purpose of the church is. God designed the church. God ordained the church. And He christened it. Wham! Smashed it with that bottle and off goes the church down the ramp on its journey. I don't know how much longer the journey's going to last. But I know where I want to be. When it pulls out of the last port, when the SS Victory pulls out of that last port, I want to be on the boat.
Come on, amen.
And I want to have it stamped Calvary in red on my ticket. Oh, church, I don't know if any of this has made sense tonight. I know what God, Jesus said. It's in red in my book. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And when the captain comes back, you got to be on the boat. Any further delay will simply mean you'll get left behind. And we really don't have an assurance that the church will ever sail back. My Bible says the church is going to be raptured.
Come on.
Well, then what other instrument or vessel is there going to be for people to make it on into heaven? We better get on the boat now. This is no time for delay. That's right. I want everybody to stand to their feet. Musicians, you just relax for a minute. I appreciate the musicians. I used to sit on that piano and altar call after altar call and after altar call and say, oh, I'd like to get out there. They're having a time. Well, I'm hoping we're going to have a time here in a minute. You don't think that the people already on the SS Victory, and look, here's somebody coming up the plank. Another passenger, glory to God. Hallelujah. Another one. Come on up. You've got to bring some more. Come on. Hallelujah. Before it's too late. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I don't want anybody feeling uncomfortable. Oh, people are staring at me. You don't worry about people staring at you. Worry about a God in heaven that's staring at you right now saying, why ain't you got on that boat yet? How come you haven't got on the boat yet? Oh, I got plenty of time. See, the devil's already at work right now, telling people, oh, you got time. You don't need to get on the boat. What are you worried about? Some boat. That boat will be here Wednesday night. Well, the boat may be here Wednesday night, but how do you know you'll be here Wednesday night? Oh, the boat will be here next Sunday. You don't know that. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask tonight real quick, and I promise if you'll just obey God, I'm not going to come back and pull anybody out of a pew or